Hello and welcome to the Astrology Oddcast with me, Francesca Oddi. I'm an astrologer, numerologist, and various other things. Studied all the stuff, tarot, psychic development. I started herbal medicine and then that was a lot. So I stopped doing that. And I dabble in homeopathy and will study that. And what else have I done? Can't remember. Palm reading, qualified palm reader. So I do all the things. And I just love to put this podcast together to translate the sky for you. So like, what is going on? What is the general theme? There's always been themes. I can see two magpies, by the way. I like to tell people what nature is crossing my path as I make the pod. When I was in the Maldives, it was more exciting. But back in London, I got the birds and hopefully not mice. I like to explore what's going on and explain it. And we are entering this eclipse season. It's kind of underway-ish, I would say. I mentioned this last week. Everybody has a different definition of when the eclipse season starts. When does it begin? Is it after the full moon on Friday? Because then the next lunation will be an eclipse. Therefore, from Friday, there'll be a lot of eclipse portal is open. But I mean, I'd open the eclipse portal now, in all honesty, because eclipses can be felt a month in advance. If you have eclipse degrees in your chart, so 21 degrees Libra is the first eclipse. And then I think it's 5 or 7 degrees of Taurus. Let me just confirm. It is at five Taurus is the next one. So if you have degrees at that point, then you can look into it, all points opposite or square to that. Now, some of you speak astrology, some of you don't. If you do, you'll know what to do. If you don't, then you can always sign up to learn to read your birth chart on my website and get involved with understanding aspects and all of that magic. Because the astrology only really comes to life when you can read your own chart and apply all this stuff to you. You know, it's great to understand there's an eclipse and that this year is the love revolution, a values revolution. But, you know, if you want, some people can't be asked and that's fine. We're not all supposed to be astrologers. It's a big responsibility. I was saying that to someone the other day, you know, when I read people's charts, I sometimes send them photos of books and share information. And the more advanced books are a bit savage. They're far less positive and sweet and rounded off. You know, when you're a beginner, the beginner's books have the edges sanded. You know, they are for you're a baby. If you're a baby astrologer, then we get the baby information. We get it. We get spoon fed. It's pureed. It's we're not going to choke on it. It's palatable. Oh, there's four magpies now. Four, yeah. But then when things get more advanced, it's rougher. We're being burdened with what could be, and those things could be endings and they could be difficult and we might not know, and we have to be able to live with the not knowing. And not everybody likes that. A lot of people say, like, how do you do it, blah blah blah. And so it's a certain disposition and that's fine. Now, I would say that the eclipse energy is activated because the nodes are in Libra and Aries and the sun is already in Libra. So we have this activation of the Libra Aries polarity. And because the full moon is on Friday, the 29th, that full moon energy is already coming into play. And we're already looking at you versus me. We're already looking at that Aries energy of my wants and needs. We're already looking at the Aries Libra polarity. So Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. They find it very easy to be like, I want this. When you find somebody say, I want, I'm always like, wow, well done. I want this. I want that. Okay, fine. That's the Aries. And then Libra is like, are you okay? Can I get you anything? It's considerate. It's about the other. The sun doesn't do that well in Libra. It's not, in traditional astrology, they would say the sun is in its, the sun is exalted in Aries. So the sun is in its fall in Libra. Because if your sun, your ego, your identity is about what you want, it does very well in Aries because Aries is like, I want. But when your sun, your ego, your identity is in Libra, and that's about what you want, but you say, I can only get what I want if you tell me what you need, becomes more difficult. And at the moment, we have the South Node in Libra. So we have the activation of some of the swampy, dark, dank, funky, entrenched, difficult, unhelpful Libran behaviors. All of us have Libra in our chart. And the South Node is sweeping through that part of our chart going, do you know what? Like, this is a bit murky. And we can find imbalance across that spectrum from being too people pleasery to too defensive, I guess, and too boundaried. What I can see in my head to explain is what I'm looking at is I can see the South Node in Libra, the North Node in Aries. Okay, so we've got this balance between we should be going to being more independent, being more decisive, thinking about what we want, considering the needs of others, but not putting them first, like excessively. And then with Pluto square to that, Pluto's in Capricorn. So Pluto is about power and brand. And I say brand, do you know what? Here is something I've just thought. Russell Brand, his name is Brand. And I have written today on my notes, branding as a topic to discuss, because I think Libra is a sign about partly about branding. It's definitely about PR. PR became a thing in the 80s when we had a Saturn Pluto conjunction in Libra. So, and when Saturn and Pluto meet, we're kind of setting the tone of what's going on in the world. That was in 81. And then in 2020, Saturn and Pluto met again for the first time since 1981, and they met in Capricorn. And we're looking at different issues now, more to do with big media and corporates and governments and all kind of changes across that spectrum. I'm not going to go into that now. I've talked about it loads of times before. I want to talk about Libra. And so Libra is very much about PR, marketing, and to a certain extent, therefore branding, because brands employ people to do their PR. PR is for people who have a message, and generally it's brands that have a message. And we live in a world of brands. We live in a world where brands have an incredible ability to pull weight, to charge money. I started working with brands because once you've worked with a brand, people think you're good. You don't have to be good, but people will think you're good if you've worked with the brand. So, and then if you work with the brand, the other brands want to work with you. And it's like, we're just playing this game of brand. And I guess there is some truth to it. But also brands are able to self-sustain, because I remember writing this in 2021. I remember doing a few Instagram posts on it, and I've never really spoken about it properly. I've never done like a full event on it, but I remember doing loads on Instagram, like sharing, like, what do you think about brand? What do you think? Blah, 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 blah. Because we live in a world of like personal branding and bullshit, basically. But people who brand themselves effectively do brilliantly. And there is this clarity that comes from branding, and it's important to know who you are, and you can only really serve your customer. You can only really serve the other if you know who you are. Isn't that interesting? Balance of Libra and Aries. Libra, you want to help other people and connect with other people, but unless you know who you are. Aries, you can't. So there's this whole connect with South Node, North Node, Aries, Libra. I want to be somebody. Therefore, who am I so I can know you? Do you follow? I think that's pretty self-explanatory. But brands aren't often challenged. People don't like to challenge a brand. That's what I remember thinking in 2021. A brand will put out a message. You go to the place, you go to the restaurant, let's say, and you don't have an experience that matches the brand. You have a shit experience. You have bad service and all the rest of it. Now, some people will be like, yo, that was bad service. But a lot of people will be so aligned with the brand that they don't call it out. They'll just be like, hey, here's me in this place having a less than that good time, but I'm going to take a photo and put it on my Instagram saying it's great because I want to align with this brand that everyone thinks is good. That's something I've seen. And that once a brand has created itself and it's been able to climb through the ranks and achieve eminence, and people think it's prestigious and people think it's good. Same with like universities. My university, Durham University, is like, it was top four, I think, when I went, top three. It's one of the top universities in the UK. And The teaching was pretty average, really. You know, I barely had any tutor groups. I barely did anything. But it was Durham University, so it's like, fine, off you fuck. Well done. But some of the less good universities had really brilliant teaching, you know, the polys, whatever. And I remember thinking at the time, this is, you know, everyone's just decided this is good because it's always been good. And somehow they're still getting the ratings, mainly because the people who attend probably are quite, you know, were of a standard. It was quite difficult to get in. But the teaching itself was a bit pants, I thought. And so that's one example. And there's loads and loads of other examples. Yeah, and I'm not going to, you know, uni was a long time ago, and that's my experience. So I can talk about it. I'm not going to start slagging off brands because it's probably not wise. But have a think. What do you think about that? Because there are just loads of brands that are actually shit quality and aren't offering what they say they're offering. But the people keep leaving the great reviews and saying they had a great time because they want to believe in it. They just want to be aligned with it and be like, oh my God, it was so good. And I'm like, was it actually though? I always find that with Glassdoor as well. I know this year, everybody said it was the best Glassdoor ever. Cool. It did look really wicked. But in the past, it's like, mate, it was really hard work. But everybody wants to have the best time ever. So everybody's like, oh my God, can't describe it. It was amazing. It's not like anything else. All festivals are like that. It was amazing. I loved it. And of course, it's good to be positive. But it's like, was it actually? Could have been at home having a barbecue. Now, and that's kind of a bad example, but I just want to get across the idea where the need to have enjoyed it to be cool supersedes the truth. And it's a very Libra thing. It's a very brand thing. And somehow Russell Brand, his name, and his story, everything that's popping off there isn't actually to do with branding, is it? It's to do with sexual abuse and sexual assault. But his name Brand, it just popped into my head then that that's interesting, that there's something in this concept of maybe what he's taking down. I don't watch his videos very much. I do like some of them, or I did when I see them, mainly the Big Pharma ones, obviously, because that's the ones I have beef with. But I'm not going to bore you with that anymore. But do you think about it? What do you think about that? Like, the power of brand to just kind of skirt around the truth, and the collective pull to be involved is being challenged in the sky at the minute, because we have the South Node in Libra, where we all want to fit in and we all want to people please, and we want to that piece at all costs, that like me at all costs thing is going. And we are moving to independence. Aries, the small independent, is not a brand, is it? It is. You're still a brand if you're a small independent. You still got your shop and your nice bags, and you always have the same incense. You still create an experience. But there's a difference in being authentic and yourself and being known for who you are, as opposed to like this machine of brand, this machine of these are our brand values. Yeah, but you're bullshitting us. Like all the greenwashing. There's so many brands that claim to be eco and then get shit made in China and imported over. And everybody's like, oh yeah, I bought this, it's eco. Think. It's not actually eco, is it? They're just telling you they are. This is the best cup of coffee in the world. All right, okay, thank you. So, you know, that move to authenticity. And with that in mind, looking objectively at our life and looking objectively at the world is sort of Pluto square the nodes at the minute. I feel like, for me at least, there's been a lot of situations of late where I've been a lot quicker to trust my intuition on things, where like I've already had a red flag. I'm like, not sure about this. And I used to wait a long time to be like, I might be wrong, I might be wrong, I might be wrong. And then I'm like, nah, done. off we go. And Pluto is opposing Cancer. I've spoken about this a lot this year. Therefore, if Pluto's in Capricorn and it's all the conglomerates and the brands and the governments and this kind of overarching power that is Gosh, I mean, it's such a big topic. What has Pluto in Capricorn shown us? It's shown us about it. It began in 2008 with the housing crisis, and we saw that banks were corrupt and they've been giving out dodgy mortgages, and we've had financial austerity basically the whole of Pluto in Capricorn. And now Pluto is reaching the end of Capricorn, and we're even worse, I guess, with interest rates and everything that's culminating with. And again, I'm not, my finger isn't on the pulse at the minute because I'm kind of in and out and not watching the news and don't really engage with what's going on. Try not to. But it's obvious. I mean, you can't escape the fact that we've got cost of living crisis. Interest rates are fixed now, but still very high, probably not going to go down. I've got my financial astrology newsletter, by the way. If you go on my website and then go to blog, you can sign up to my blog, which is, so sign up to my newsletter, which is on my website. But there's also on my blog page a link to a Substack that my friend does, and he's a banker. And I just share it and sometimes annotate it. My annotations have got more and more slack of late because I don't always know what he's on about. But I do read it, and this interest rate malarkey is kicking off. And it's very Pluto in Capricorn. And so we've got this intensity of Pluto square the nodes. Again, if you don't speak astrology, just take that. North node in Aries, south node in Libra, Pluto aspecting this opposition, forming a T in the sky. And what pressure is being applied to your values? And that's why this year is the love revolution. What pressure? How are you seeing things as they are? And how are you being more authentic related to that? And on a collective level, if we all take a step back, how can we see where governments have been applying pressure onto the individual? And I think it's bigger than that. Honestly, I think I'll have more to say next week, the week after. But I will say this, that I don't see how this eclipse season, the eclipse that happens on the 14th of October, is not going to shake things up financially. I don't see how these eclipses are just going to trickle on by with no really high pressure news. I feel like the astrology is really amping up. Let me talk you through the astrology then, because I can give you an insight into how I'm seeing this and why I feel that there is so much intensity around October. I saw online someone saying it's lucky girl season. I mean, that's good. Let's roll with that. But we are looking at South Node issues. And if you remember last November when the South Node was in Scorpio, the South Node is bringing up stuff, and it's bringing up some quite confronting pieces of information. And you might want to take your time with them and journal your way through it, because there is going to be a lot of reflection, a lot of seeing in others what you are, basically. So Venus is still in Leo, still retracing her steps, and she's going to square Uranus again all this week. And she will form the exact square on Friday, which is the same day as the full moon. Spicy, huh? So the moon is in Aries and the sun will be in Leo. The sun will be in Libra, excuse me. The moon will be in Aries. The sun will be in Libra, opposite. Libra is ruled by Venus. And on the same day as the full moon, Venus will be square to Uranus. That is one hell of a liberation. It almost feels a bit cold. It feels like you've been cut loose and you've been dunked in the sea and you're alone. And it's like, oh, right. Okay. This is freedom, is it? Is this what I wanted? It could be exhilarating. You could meet and connect with some great people, but it could also just feel so cold. I think it could feel cold because somehow our ability to create warmth and this desire to feel special. I'm really intrigued, actually. I'm really intrigued. How will Thursday, Friday, Saturday go? Will you feel special? Are you excited? Are you off to see your friends and just bumping into loads of people and having a great night out? Because it's a full moon, the energy will be really, really high. It could be You feel empowered and you let go of those codependent things, that you're liberated from your needy self, and you feel footloose, fancy free, and you're on the road again. But it could also be that you are footloose, fancy free, and you've been dunked in the ice bath and you really didn't ask for it. And you're like, how? Why am I alone? Why? How have I not been able to express my needs? Where has communication gone mental? What am I really on about? What do I really feel? What's going on? Mars is also in Libra. So he's going to be at the South Node, emphasizing this. Stop thinking about everyone else. Take a break. Remember who you are. Where do you feel most truly yourself? Alone in nature, on the dance floor with your friends? Can you tune into the ecstasy of loving the moment and do something that takes you to your tuned in, tapped out place of joy? So how do we step out of duality? The Libra sun, the you versus me, the full moon, I need this, you want that. How do we make this happen? How do we step out of that? It's to tune into something higher, to go out of duality and to meditate and to really deeply connect with something beyond, whether you call it God or universe or spirit. There is a divine wisdom beyond all of that. But sometimes we need a catalyst. Sometimes we need to be pushed off the cliff to get to that space, you know? And with Mars on the South Node, so the sun isn't there yet. The sun's at the beginning of Libra. The South Node is at the end of Libra. So if it were birthdays, you know, the full moon's on the 29th, but the South Node is probably something like the 17th of October right now, if your birthday's around there. And Mars is also on that point. So if you've got your birthday around the 17th of October or April or July or January, it's quite activating time. You're letting things go. You're challenging some of these behaviors where you are overly people pleasery, but it can come with fire. It can come with a little bit of tension. And Mars square Pluto is one of the most formidable aspects, and it's already pretty much in orb. It's exact on, I believe, the 8th, Sunday the 8th, which is an extra spicy day because Venus will be at the final degree of Leo, finally, after months in Leo, 4 months, I think. So yeah, 8th of October, pencil that one in. Definitely pencil that one in. It's really potent. And all of that week is potent, all of the first week of October. But that's why I'm talking about the love revolution. That's why I think the next couple of weeks are intense. I would be surprised if we don't see some level of intensity on the global scale, because that's just what it seems to me. If this trickles on by and everybody's just chilling, I'd be surprised, because the love revolution, when I made that podcast in January, I did look to October as peak, as peak transformation time. It's just a bit peak. Okay, let's do some horoscopes. So the first one, the full moon in Aries is in Aries' first house, but the sun and Mars are in your seventh. And your seventh house is all about relationships, the other, where you give your power away. Maybe you are too bossy and controlling. I don't know which end of the spectrum it is. I don't know what you expect from people. I don't know how your expectations are being challenged, or your preconceptions are being challenged, or how you are really learning how to relate to somebody in a new way. But you are relating in a new way and asserting yourself. Perhaps like the full moon is in your first house, so it's all about you. Maybe it's time for you to go, okay, no, look, I want this. I'm not just going to give to you. Now, this is because the seventh house is what we tend to give away. So with the sun and Mars and the South Node, all this old baggagey stuff in the seventh, it could be that your partners are bringing you stories that you reflect, you look at them and think, oh God, you know, is this me? Is this, how much of this is me? How much is me? This is them. It's classic you, me projection, full moon stuff, because it's across your relationship axis. It's in the sign of relationship. It's really, really like, listening to the other person. What are they saying? How can you hear it? How can you acknowledge how much of it is you? And fine tuning, because there's a lot to release. We've got a new relationship status quo setting at the eclipse on the 14th of October in your relationship sector. So from the full moon till then, it's like, okay, I've got to relearn some stuff here. That's the full moon in Aries for you, Aries. Taurus, this full moon is in your 12th house, your unconscious, everything that is hidden and buried and powerful. Your powerful subconscious is coming to the top and you're like, whoa, I didn't expect that. I thought I dealt with that a long, long time ago. Your ruler's in the fourth and the north node is in your 12th. So it's good. It's good that for you to step into something like psychotherapeutic, a meditation, taking some time out and understanding who you are, what you really value, where you want to be, who you want to love, who you want to live with, and stepping out of any workaholic tendencies. You could be overworking as a way to avoid looking at what needs to be looked at. You know, this is really important. It's necessary now to look at what's been lingering in your subconscious so you can let it go and make space, because this eclipse is coming in a fortnight, which is going to help you reset some really healthy habits, maybe not be a workaholic so much, maybe not be such a slave to all the things that we're told are important. I'm coming back to brands, you know, there's all this branding, this money, this machine, the capitalist machine that we are very, very much a part of and probably isn't going anywhere fast. Still questioning it, questioning your values around staying busy to avoid what's going on beneath. Gemini, this full moon is in your 11th house and your ruler Mercury is in the fourth. So similar to your Taurus friends, you are perhaps thinking a lot about where you want to be and who you want to be with and what you want to talk about. But this full moon is in your 11th and you're moving towards groups, connections, societies, bringing people together, helping people to perhaps understand the way this full moon is affecting them or just understand their lives, talking to people. Mercury's the messenger. Mercury is your planet. And you're very good at helping people to see up, see down, see around, and to not put themselves center stage, stepping out of that. You know, you've got the sun and Mars and the south node in your fifth house of creativity and maybe children. There could be something to do with your children there. Maybe you've been focusing on them too much instead of focusing on your own creativity. That can happen. Or maybe you've been focusing on projects so much that you've not seen your friends. Maybe it's time to go out, see your friends, celebrate, have a nice time, and dedicate some energy into bringing ideas together or working towards a cause, discussing something that matters to you, activating something that matters to you. There is a time for action, but also releasing any kind of weird group think that has been too much and you want to refresh groups, refresh the values. Because like I was saying about brands, we all think this is how it is. And we carry on blindly. And actually with this full moon, we're letting go of some of that, Gemini, letting go of how you perceive the collective and perceive your friends and perceive this and that. And it's like, okay, we're gonna start that again at the eclipse in 2 weeks' time and allow yourself to be more independent creatively from then on in, because you're less concerned with what everyone else is doing. Cancer, this full moon is in your 10th house of career. The moon is your ruler. So we're all eyes on the moon. And you are stepping into leadership. You know, Cancer is a water sign. It can be defensive and it can be protective. And it's definitely the sign of the mother and the home. But we're talking matriarch here. This isn't a wallflower. This is Cancer being the boss and saying, do you know what? I'm going to take control here and I'm going to stop all this indecisiveness and flippy flopping around and all the kind of Libra peacekeeping at home, maintaining the status quo and just saying, no, enough is enough, being very Aries about it, not being, you know, don't have to be dramatic, but there could be a little bit of drama at home. I have to say, Mars on the south node in your fourth house, the fourth house, the sign of home. Cancerians tend to go nuts at the full moon anyway. Not just Cancerians. If you've got moon in Cancer or Mars, particularly Mars in Cancer are the werewolves, in my opinion. Not all, but I've known a fair few werewolves who've had Mars in Cancer, and probably rising. I don't know if I said that. Well, obviously rising, but still, yeah, like beware the werewolf. Know how to channel your desires and wants in just clearly without the overthinking tendency, the people pleasing, like just do it. Just do it. Move on. Create space, because at the eclipse is going to be a brand new refresh and reset in a fortnight. Leo, this full moon is in your third house. It's your ruler is the sun. So it's all about your sun. And it's sun's on the south node in your third house. And the full moon's in your ninth, about travel, learning, creativity. So perhaps you want to go and learn something. Maybe you want to listen. Leos don't always listen. You know, this is a time for being able to express what you've heard and share information boldly, be the leader, but also you got to listen, you know, but maybe not too much. Maybe there's this, the ability of the Leo to just share information from their heart, to channel it, to have confidence in what they're saying without going, I need to study this, I need to study this, I need to study this, all that. All this South Node stuff in the third house could be big focus on, yeah, I've learned this and I'm educated and I'm curious and I've got 1,000 different positions because it's Libra. So you're going like, could be this, could be that, could be this, could be that. And then how do you get to be a teacher if you're like super, super jack of all trades or super on the fence? Well, that's actually quite good. Maybe it's a good way of being a teacher. And maybe that's why Rising Leo is a great teacher, because they always have Libra on the third. And therefore, when their Aries ninth house comes into action and they start teaching, they're always doing it from a considered perspective of what all the different possibilities. And that's what I guess we're doing as a teacher. You're not going, this is it. You're going, this could be it, this could be it. What do you think? Draw a conclusion. And so there's something in that for you yourselves, Leo, as being teachers. Have you been able to draw a conclusion? And what gives you meaning? What lights your fire? What purpose are you going to move toward and step away from being like, could be this, could be that, could be this, could be that? Virgo. Da, da, da. Virgo, this full moon is in your eighth house of sex, death, other people's money. And Mercury's in your first in Virgo. So, eighth house. What do I see here? So, full moon in Aries in the eighth. Illuminating your investments, where you've put your money, where you've married someone, where you are deeply sexually bonded, telepathically bonded, psychically bonded with a friend, a lover, anybody. Interesting. Naked man on the balcony. New animal. I've never seen this before. My friend Kat, who was in the room, said, oh, I really enjoyed the naked man on the balcony opposite. I was like, I've lived here 2.5 years. I never saw the naked man on the balcony. Just did. Okay, so that's very eighth house. You know, nudity, bearing your soul in the bedroom. So maybe, you know, if we take that synchronicity, we will look at sexuality, Virgo, and what you are, how are you using your potent sexual energy? And that's just your creative energy, you know, the energy that creates the universe, your desires, the whatever has lit you up. That energy can be used for anything that you want to invest in. Where are you invested energetically? And let go of being potentially attached to stuff. It's in your second house. So possessions, your jewelry, your rings, your beauty. You know, it's not just about what you look like. It's actually much more about what you care about deeply. That's the focus. Because the eclipse is going to reset a lot of your financial situation anyway. And but clear space for that, because the things you own do have energy. Everything has vibration, and that's why you have to do the Marie Kondo and like, does this bring me joy? And if it doesn't, sack it off. Because that's a big theme for now anyway, sacking off all the energetics of things that have just gone. Like we're moving on, and if values are changing, it's not, I'm not saying go to Zara, buy a whole new wardrobe and fast fashion. That's not my point. My point is that we accumulate stuff energetically and literally, and maybe it's part of that continuing Renaissance is to shift what you've shift the things in your environment, have some conversations with friends, clean up your phone, change the photos in your frames, things like that. Libra, full moon is in your seventh, very much like Aries. You could basically just flip whatever I've said for the first six, just listen to them again if you're a polarity, but not quite. So the sun is in your first house. Venus is in the 11th of your groups and friends still. She's still there. With the full moon in your seventh, you are letting go of some of these outdated partnerships, relationships. You are looking at the wants, demands, the needs of your partner, and you're saying, okay, I'm going to give them to you, but also I need this. And because all of that people-pleasing stuff that we've talked about needs to go, but also the manipulation. Like Libra and Aries operate in an axis, and Libra gets what they want by being a subversive Aries, by being manipulative, by saying things in a way that isn't angry, but is just as potent. And, you know, I always find this irritating in life. It's kind of aligned with what I was saying about branding. Like if you say things in a very Libran way and you're very nice about it, you can be more of a bastard than if you're Aries just being like banging down the law. But people will always tolerate the sweet version more, because people tolerate Venus more, because Venus is sweet and not beautiful. So we like it more. But sometimes there, you know, we get lost in the truth gets lost in that way of doing things. And so, yeah, any fear of being direct and upfront, or any need to keep your partner controlled. Mars in your first house in Libra is you're going about everything very diplomatically, but maybe it's not direct. Maybe it's rooted in something that's connected to the past. Mars on the South Node. And with the full moon in your seventh, it's like, do you know what? Let's just let that go, because the eclipse in Libra in a fortnight time is going to help you completely reset the way you interact with the world and how you show up and how open, honest, direct, straightforward, polite, charming, all of that, all the Libra arty, beautiful things. There's a reset. There's a reset incoming. So it's a great, slightly swampy window of seeing a lot of projection. Like I said, the Aries Libra people are going to, we're all going to see ourselves and other people over the next period, week or two. But particularly Aries and Libra, or Aries and Libra rising, there's going to be a lot of, well, you're like this, finger pointing, and it's really, you're talking to yourself. Scorpio, full moon in your sixth house, and the sun and Mars, your traditional ruler, in the 12th. I'm going to stick to that Mars as your traditional ruler, just because it's on the South Node. It's so potent. It's like, it needs to be discussed. So this full moon is in your sixth, and you're working and you are being practical, and you are able to channel your very, very powerful, potent, somewhat magnetic energy into work, into your daily practices, into your health. And maybe you're releasing. I have to say, it's a little bit similar to Taurus about the workaholic avoiding the subconscious, even though it's the other way around. I just think having the South Node in your 12th house suggests maybe you've been too interested in psychology. I think there could be that would be too interested in the spiritual, not practical enough. If you've been overly concerned with the, oh, I feel this, I feel that, the energetic that, it's like, okay, yeah, I get you. But how about just knuckling down and bringing some routine to this party, because this isn't getting anywhere. Could be something like that. And then releasing any, just acknowledging. I think it's just going to come up. I think it'll be obvious to you, Scorpio. I don't need to labor it, particularly if you're listening to all the scopes, because there is a story. We all have all signs of the zodiac in us, you know? So there is a story. There is a development for each sign. Sag, your ruler is in the sixth still. And this full moon is in your fifth of creativity. So it's like, yeah, come on, Sag, you've got to put yourself out there. Full moon in the fifth. It's how are you releasing the fact that perhaps it is all about you? That's the other side of it. But maybe you're focusing on your children. Maybe you're focusing on a project. Maybe there's a project that's being put out into the world. And you are looking at all of this group stuff, Mercury, Libra, Mars, South Node in your 11th house, that is saying something about, that is highlighting tricky group dynamics, power struggles within group dynamics. Mars is applying to Pluto. There's something where it's, everything's got a little bit tangled in trying to be everything to everyone. Maybe really passionately caring about a cause, or finding a cause very, very valuable, and then that distracting from the ability to just shine and move forwards. But you know, that whole reset is going to be in the 11th house, Sag. So the people you network with and your friends, there's a big reset to that area, and it could be happy, harmonious, more considered, and a more balanced way. Not, instead of over promising, oh, I'll see you, do this, do that, could be toning down some of that excess Sagittarian behavior and helping you to focus more on your daily routine, but just be a bit more maybe practical and measured and not get wrapped up in trying to do a million things for a million people. Capricorn, four moons in your fourth, much like Cancer, we're looking at the opposition of home and work, and there is a big call to work, that your Capricorn cardinal overwork behavior is also being challenged. Mars in your 10th house, square to Pluto in your first house. So Pluto's like the power planet, and he's in Capricorn, as we know. And Mars is squaring him in your 10th. So it's like, are you finding people tricky at work? Are they overbearing? Are they pushing you too hard? Are you pushing people too hard? Can you release? Can you relax? Can you go home? Can you address what needs to be addressed at home instead of constantly doing battle at work? Or maybe there's something that just needs to be done at work. Maybe there's a lawsuit. Maybe there's some aggressive, nefarious thing that needs to be challenged. Because I know we live in a world, oh God, that Joe Dispenza meditation was terrible. Again, coming back to brands, it was so bad. And Joe Dispenza is capable of brilliance. He really is. And some of his meditations are inspiring, but generally they're slow. They're too long. He insists they have to be long. That's his way. You got to buy into cult brand, not brand, same shit, Dispenza. And, you know, all his meditations, I went on his retreat, it was like $2,500. And then all the meditations are like $30, $40 to buy. And they're all fucking long. Take an hour every morning. And people, they change lives. They cure people who have done Joe Dispenza's meditations, have healed from cancer. They have got out of wheelchairs. They have healed carpal tunnel syndrome. They have, people have done everything, you know, hearing again, seeing again. His meditations are super powerful. So he's onto something, but there's this attachment to his way, which maybe that's his proven way. And the more people do it, the more people buy into the brand, more people buy into the concept, and they keep doing it. I personally find it difficult to buy into things. This is where I am. Very Uranian. I'm too skeptical, resistant. That's not a good thing necessarily. It's not a bad thing. It just is what it is. But that meditation walk for the world thing was bad. It was bad. He didn't offer the depth he could have offered. And there was still, I still pleased I did it. I still, you know, they've got the binaural beats according to Jen. You still get some kind of benefit from spending an hour doing a meditation. You never lose from doing a meditation. But you know, there is some over, how did I get to that? I just think there's some over association with a big name, and the Mars square Pluto is showing us how we can use our own personal power, but it might bring up some challenges. And what was I saying? How do we get so that I can rewind podcasts? Anyway, I don't remember exactly how I got to Joe Dispenza from this 10th house meditation vibe, but I'm sure it was good. I think it's with all this South Node in the 10th house, the people pleasing, the joining the bandwagon and thinking everything's great, doing everything the way it's always been done, there can be some challenge and say, do you know what? Probably not. No, that's not it. Let me think. I'm really sorry. I can't quite remember how I got from the Sun and Mars in your 10th house Capricorn to Joe Dispenza. I can't quite remember. But let me just go from the top again and maybe it'll come back to me. So with the moon in your 4th house, you're releasing some of these, like anything to do with not being at home enough or being at home too much, obligations to home. Maybe there is, like I said, a lawsuit or something challenging and stressful at work where you have to challenge. And because sometimes we do have to challenge. We do. That was it. Yes. In his meditation, he was like, walk for a world where there's no war, where there's no, you know, basically nothing bad. And I love that as a concept, but the astrologer in me is like, well, what are we going to do with Mars? Is all Mars going to be sport? Is it possible? Maybe, you see, maybe this is me lacking vision. Is it possible? It must be possible. But we've got to give us some steps to get there, haven't we? We've got to channel these very power-hungry dynamics. And whilst there is hunger for power, what are we going to do with it? Because Mars in your 10th house Capricorn is square to Pluto, and he is hungry for power. And there are people who are abusive. And how do we handle that? How do we discuss it? How do we break it down? How do we live with it? And I guess that is part of, for you Capricorn, this full moon, there is something about home and work and power struggles and stress and everything that's going on and everything in between, and how can you express yourself? And there will be emotion. Cancer is a part here. Cancer is in your 7th. So Capricorn and Cancer, this applies to you. It's like, it's the balancing there of emotion and practicality and stress. And stress, like when Mars is acting out, anger is an emotion, you know, and Mars could be acting out very angrily, but that doesn't mean it's not emotion. I think it's just important to remember that, Capricorn. So whatever is going on, it's like breathing through it and going to a place where you're more directed and self-assured. Aquarius, this full moon is in your 3rd house and your ruler Uranus is in the 4th. So Uranus has been in your 4th for so long. So that's constant seeking of freedom from home or freedom at home or unconventional life at home. And then the full moon, much like Leo, this is how can you care about something? Maybe this is why Aquarius is so dogmatic, because their South Node, they learn all the different things. They, with the South Node and the Sun and Mars in Libra, is all about exploring what could be, this possibility, that possibility. I've traveled here. I've met every single person in the world because I'm a friendly Aquarian, and I know everything. And then their 3rd house is ruled by Aries, single-minded, ruled by Mars. I know what's happening. I am the boss. The end. Leave me alone. I'm an Aquarius. So there could be some relief around that. Or you are able to convey what you know. Maybe you really are the expert and you've got something to say and you're letting go of all the different questions and ponderances and what could be and all the different places you want to go. And instead of thinking about all the different places you can be and go, you are setting a firm intention about what you want to say and who you are connected to. Pisces, your full moon is in the 2nd. So a bit like Virgo, you know, when I was talking about Virgo, I saw the naked man. There is something about not being overly energetically invested in other people, actually. Be more invested in yourself, moon in Aries on your North Node. Where is your value? Maybe you're going to get some monies. Maybe you're going to see the cash that you're owed. Maybe you're going to see the ending of some kind of relationship, because this is a full moon about relationships and Saturn is in your sign. So Saturn is, you know, shaking things up for Virgo and Pisces, and that, and endings are endings. Endings are also beginnings. So there's something about letting go of the past. Mars on your South Node, Sun in the 8th, all of that in the 8th, sex, death, other people's money. inheritance, relationship, attachment to what you would do. What is your inheritance? Are you fighting about inheritance? What did, not just money inheritance, also like the DNA you inherited, the trauma, all the energetics you've inherited, you know, or that you're bonded in your with your partner, like how that's all going to be reset with this eclipse in your in 2 weeks' time. It's going to be very much about the deep stuff. Where are you connected? How are you psychically bonded with others? And you're moving towards the physical much more and thinking about how you can just ground yourself practically without getting swept up in these really deep entanglements, but also cherish those entanglements. But those entanglements might be a little bit stressful. You could really be exploring what has been the dark. You could really be exploring the dark right now, Pisces. Sun in your eighth house. You're traversing the underworld, but you're learning and you're setting things free. And then with the North Node and the full moon in your second house, you are able to release and go, look, I'm here and I've got this, and this is what brings me security. And I feel very connected to being practical and taking leadership of my own life without being overly influenced by the past. Okay, they were horoscopes and they were quite long. I feel like I'm done now. They were making up for last week's speedy horoscopes. And also this full moon, I just think is really interesting. And it was worth doing that and exploring a little bit of what I discussed in the pod about brand and this basically the whole discourse of South Node Libra, North Node Aries. So I hope that made more sense for you and that you enjoy this week and really keep your eyes to the ground. You know, life's going to get intense. I do think extra journaling, extra meditation, be on the lookout for surprises on Friday, things that you just didn't see coming. You just cannot predict the unpredictable. So keep your eyes peeled, stay sane, keep breathing, keep a sense of humor. Maybe don't be too feisty with that Mars on the South Node, sextiling Venus, who is ready to chuck the baby out with the bathwater. Maybe keep your eyes on that and enjoy autumn. This has been Francesca Oddi for the Astrology Oddcast. We have looked at pretty much from the 27th of September through for a week, but a bit longer because we're in interesting times in it and it makes sense to pop ahead. We've got some very comprehensive horoscopes. If you are interested in learning more about how to read your own chart and understand what's going on, you can download Learn to Read Your Birth Chart from my website. There's lots of old episodes to listen to here. You know, they are kind of all time sensitive, but also, well, they're not all time sensitive. There's an interview with Colin like two episodes ago. But there is always something in the pod that, you know, if you're kind of curious, we always ponder a topic. And other than that, we have the Cosmic Club that will open again in January. So you can sign up to the waiting list if you'd like to join that and get super involved in ritual and learning and education. Okay, thanks for listening and see you soon.